Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
You can be seated. Isn't that an awesome song? I love that song we've been singing over the last few weeks. My name is Eric. I am the student pastor here. I wear some other hats on our team, but I'm excited to continue our series today. So I want to start with a question. Don't we all need a little happiness in our lives from time to time? Wouldn't you agree with that? Yeah. So I want to do a little exercise. I want you to think back to the happiest moments in your life. Think back to what those moments are. Maybe it's when you graduated from high school or college. Maybe it's when you got your first car. Maybe it's when he finally proposed. Maybe it's when you bought that first house or went on that dream vacation. Everybody got something? Those moments are unbelievable in our lives. One of my happiest moments of my life was my wedding day. My wife and I just celebrated our 18-year anniversary this past week. That's right. We're doing it. We're making it. It was a happy day for us. It was the end of a 5-year dating time period. We met on a blind date, and it was an unbelievable day. We got married at First Baptist Church of Opelika, Alabama, and I brought a picture for us to see. Check out those babies. Look at those babies. There's no facial hair. I was 23. She was 22. And this was an incredible day because we were beginning our journey. We were starting out to see where God would take us from this point. She had just graduated from Auburn, and I had already graduated. And so this was an important day for us. But these happy moments in our lives are incredible. There are times that we long for. There are times if we're present in that moment, we even say, man, I just wish this moment would last forever. Have you ever said that? You ever been there? I have, for sure. But here's the deal. These moments don't last forever. They slip us by. They go by the way. They're here one moment and gone the next. Sorry to go in a little depressing route for a second, but I built you up. And then, but that's what happens in these moments. And so we're always chasing these moments. We're always trying to recreate them. But what if I told you that today we're going to talk about something that has all the qualities of happiness, but it's much deeper than that. It's much richer than that. And what if I told you what we're going to talk about today will last a lifetime? Would you be interested in that? Yeah. Well, a few weeks ago, I heard about something that happened during the college basketball season. We have any basketball fans in here? Any March Madness fans? Yep. So one or two, that's okay. I think maybe you'll find this interesting. Baylor University, who ended up winning the national championship, their first title, they played their season. They built their team around a phrase. They called it a culture of joy. And I thought that was really interesting. I'd never heard of that phrase before. Who says that, right? So I was interested in it, so I dug a little deeper. And I found a quote from one of their star basketball players. He described it this way. He said, "A culture of joy is Jesus, others, and then yourself. So it's a hierarchy of the way of thinking. For me, it's also the fact that I get to be here with this group of guys, and it's joy, it's fun." This is from Jared Butler, their junior point guard, one of their star players. Isn't that amazing? Like, I was so inspired by that. These are a group of college athletes, and they're building their team. They're building their mentality around a culture of joy. Here's how they laid it out. It was Jesus, others, and then yourself. Jesus, others, and then yourself. I mean, if this is what a culture of joy is all about, sign me up, right? I want to live in that. And so their coach later on said that as their team was built around this idea, that they truly played as a team. They truly were one unit, playing very unselfishly. I guess so. I guess that's true. We began a new series a couple of weeks ago, and what we're doing in this series is we're looking at the qualities that described who Jesus was and how he lived. And Paul, one of the early church leaders who built churches, who started churches, who helped them and helped them grow, kind of characterized these qualities in this way. He called them the fruits of the Spirit. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He characterized them this way. He said these were the qualities what Jesus looked like. And so in this series, what we're trying to do is we're taking a look at this list and we're saying, okay, if these are the qualities that describe Jesus, and these are pretty amazing qualities, and if our lives could be built around these, wouldn't that be pretty amazing? And so we're taking a look at each of these qualities on a week-by-week basis to see how we can build our lives around them. So today, obviously, we're going to be talking about joy. We're going to be talking about joy. The first thing I want to do is just look at the dictionary definition of joy, okay? And it's this. It's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. It's a state of happiness. Now, already in just the different definition, the dictionary definition of joy, I'm already intrigued. I mean, don't we all want to live in a state of happiness? Don't we want to find ourselves there? But let's think about happiness for a minute. We said earlier that it kind of fades away. Those moments, we just can't hang on to them. But why is that the case? Why is happiness temporary? Well, the first reason is that it is elusive. We can't hang on to it. We can't keep happiness with us. Let's take one of the things in our lives to illustrate this a little bit more that will help us understand this. Does anybody find happiness with this device? I know I do. Did you know that we are on our phones an average of three hours a day? Some of you are like, 3 hours a day? That's nothing. And more than that, we touch, we swipe, we click on our phones over 2,600 times a day. Now, why do we do that? Well, experts have studied this. And they said that every time that we interact with our phone, our brains get a little hit of dopamine. They get a little bit of happiness in our brains. And so they've studied what this is like, and it's like the feeling or the sensation people get when they do drugs or they play the slot machine. That's how powerful a hit that our phones give us. And so we pick up our phone to get our happiness. We can't hang on to our happiness, so we pick it up another 2,600 times a day. Happiness is elusive. It's hard to hang on to. If we have any travel agents in the room, this is why you're in business. It's because people are trying to recreate something that they've had before. They're trying to recreate those happy moments. So why is it temporary? Because it's elusive. But happiness is also temporary because it's connected to our circumstances. If for most of us, if we have our toes in the sand looking at the ocean, I know some of you are no beach people, that's just weird, but for some of us, if you have your toes in the sand looking at the ocean, that's a happy place, right? But the moment you walk off the beach and you find yourself sitting in traffic behind tourists, you're not happy anymore. It's completely based on your circumstance. If you're on your phone playing a game, if you're on your phone watching a video, if you're on the phone talking to a good friend, or maybe social media, but that one's even debatable, you're happy, right? But if that same phone calls you up and says you have cancer, a minute later, your happiness is gone. It's completely dependent on your circumstance. My family, every year we leave this beach and go to another beach for a vacation. I know we're crazy, but it's a tradition. It's something we can recreate really easily. We go to the beaches around Gulf Shores, Alabama. And on that beach, you can get a tent canopy to sit under, which is amazing. You can stay out there all day long. It's awesome. So what you do is you get up in the morning and you take your tent frame down there, get your spot, you leave, and you come back with the family. a couple years ago on this particular instance. We got down, we took our frame down there. We were coming back with the family. We put the canopy on it. We dug a hole for all the legs of the canopy, raised the canopy, got our chair just right, got our coolers just right, ready for a nice day. And then the lifeguard comes up and says, hey, you're going to need to move your tent back. We can't see the ocean, which is totally understandable. I mean, except for every other time you're down there, you can literally set up feet from the water. So it's totally dependent on the person. So we were nice for that moment, and we slid our tent about 10 feet back, dug the holes, buried it, got the canopy on, got the chairs on, all set up, ready to enjoy. And then he comes back again, and he says, you're going to need to move your tent back again. I'm going to tell you, even though I was in my happy place that's easy to recreate, my happiness was gone in an instant in that moment because I was so frustrated with this lifeguard. Happiness is completely built on our current circumstance. It's elusive. So if that's the case, if that's the issue with happiness, if it's so elusive and it's built on our circumstance, how do we find this joy? How do we find something that's deeper, something that lasts? Aren't joy and happiness connected? Aren't they the same thing? Well, to unpack this a little bit more, I want to give you a definition that I've kind of carried with me since I was a college student. And it's this: joy is the confidence that God is in control. Joy is the confidence that God is in control. And this makes all the difference if you're a Christ follower in the room. It's the knowledge that God's in control of the situation. It's all about the source. Happiness is connected to your circumstance. Joy is connected to Jesus. And so for a minute, I want to take us to a passage that we have kind of been building this series around so far. It's found in John 15. And in this verse, Jesus is using himself as a metaphor. He's the vine and we are branches. And in order to produce fruit, we have to stay connected to him. Check out what it says. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, if you want joy in your life, if you want to live this fruit-forward life, you must remain in me. He says this over and over and over throughout this passage in John 15. Stay connected to me. Follow me. Be found in me. And you know what happens when we are connected to Jesus, when we walk with him? Something amazing happens. Just a few verses later in this same passage, Jesus tells us what happens. He said, I've told you these things. What things? Remain in me. Stay connected to me. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus is saying, when you remain in me, when you're connected to me, you'll have joy. Some translations say right here that your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete. It'll be full. And not only that, your joy will overflow. We've said in this series that a fruit-forward life is not just about yourself and helping yourself live in a better way, but it's for everybody else as well. The powerful thing about this is that when we are connected to the source, when we're connected to Jesus, our joy overflows. And so what is joy is not connected in that circumstance. Our joy is found in Jesus. And so when people look at you in that crisis time, they still see joy. They still see Jesus. Our joy is made complete. So about this time, you're probably thinking, okay, Eric, I think I get it. To have joy, we have to stay committed to Jesus. We have to stay connected to him. Is that right? That's right. But isn't that the same thing that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks? Well, yes, it is. Okay, I think I got it. Stay connected to Jesus and I have joy. Great message. I think we're going to get out of here a little early. Awesome. Good job. But one more question for you before I go. Why is it so difficult, even though I'm following Jesus, and even though I feel like I'm connected to Jesus, to keep this joy in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. I totally get it. I understand. I've been there before, too. I've been there where I felt like I'm following Jesus and I'm connected to him, and I come up against something, and my joy is gone. I feel like I don't have any joy. What do we do in those moments? How is that possible? How do we find ourselves there? Well, we have an enemy who hates our guts, who wants to do everything possible to take our focus off of him. His name is Satan. And he'll do everything he can, everything in his power, off of our correct source, to make our happiness totally based on something else. And so I want to look at three ways that I believe that the enemy takes our focus off of us. And we're going to call these joy wreckers. The joy wreckers, because they wreck our joy. The first one is ingratitude. Ingratitude will wreck our joy. When we find ourselves in a place where we're ungrateful, we find ourselves in a place of discontentment and unhappiness. Because when we find ourselves here, it is because we've forgotten all that God has already done in our lives. We've forgotten all the ways that he has blessed us to this point. Joy is the confidence that God is in control. How do we have that confidence? How do we know all that he has done? Well, for Christ followers, it's remembering an important thing. It's remembering God's grace. God's grace is something that we can always be thankful for. It's something that we always have. It's a free gift for us. Whenever you feel down, whenever you feel like, man, I don't know what's happening. I don't feel like God is taking me in the way I want to go. Remember, he's given you his grace. When you find yourself ungrateful, remember God's grace. The Greek word for joy is chara. And one of the ways that you can define this word is important in this conversation. It's this. It's properly the awareness of God's grace, favor, joy. Check this out. It's grace recognized. You see, when we have gratitude in our lives, it leads us to a better understanding of God's grace. And that, in turn, leads us to joy. When we recognize God's grace, we have joy because it's a gift that can never be taken away from us, a gift that is so powerful. When if we feel like we're unhappy, it's because of our circumstances. It's because it's temporary. If we feel like we have no joy, it's because we've forgotten God's grace. This unbelievable gift given to us by Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. A grace, as I said, that can never be taken away. So, ingratitude wrecks our joy. Ingratitude wrecks our joy. It will do it every single time. Another thing that wrecks our joy is worry. Worry wrecks. Joy is the confidence that God's in control. You know what happens when we worry? We worry. We forget that God, who's in control. This one was a hard one for me as I studied this because I worry a lot. And you know what happens when I worry? I'm not happy. I don't have joy because I've taken control of the situation. I feel like it's on me. I've got to accomplish this. I've got to do this. We forget who's ultimately in control. Worry wrecks joy. In writing to a church in Philippi, Paul had some important words to say about this subject. He said this: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." Paul says, hey, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about it. You want more joy in your life? Spend less time worrying and more time praying. And then you will experience peace, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. And then, right before this, though, Paul says something pretty important. Check this out, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Paul's saying, hey, always be full of joy. Always be full of the knowledge that God is in control. You don't have to worry about anything. Just pray and talk to God about whatever's going on in your life. Then you can rejoice because God's in control of that situation. Worry will wreck your joy, and gratitude will wreck your joy. The last thing that will wreck your joy is comparison. Comparison will wreck your joy. Remember back to the Baylor basketball team. How did they orient their team? It was around these three things: Jesus, others, and yourself, which make up joy. Do you see that? Jesus, others, and yourself. When we find ourselves in the comparison trap, what happens is that list is flipped. It becomes yourself, others, and Jesus. Comparison will kill your happiness. You'll find yourself in a never-ending quest for more. You'll find yourself wanting more things. You'll find yourself saying, I don't have something. Everybody else has that thing. I need that thing. I don't have a car. Everybody else has a car. I need a car. I don't have a bigger house. Everybody else has one. I need it. I don't have money. I don't have clothes, nice clothes, on and on and on. We find ourselves in that comparison trap. Our joy goes out the door. Envy will kill our joy over and over and over. Right after Paul talked about the list of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, in that same chapter, in those same verses, he had an important thing to say about this as well in Galatians 5. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, this fruit-forward life, love, joy, peace, patience, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. What Paul is saying is we have to live with the confidence that God is in control. We have to live a life of joy. We can't be concerned with what everybody else has. We have to focus on what God's doing in our lives. To live a fruit-forward life, we must remember who's in control. So ingratitude will wreck your joy. Worry will wreck your joy, and comparison will wreck your joy. I love working outside in my yard, and I love to kind of plant shrubs and flowers. But around this time of year, I'm pretty frustrated because I've put down mulch, I've planted some things, but everywhere I look, there's a little vine or a little thorn coming out of the top of my shrubs or out of my mulch. And it's infuriating because I'll go out there and I'll chop off the vine, I'll chop off the thorns, and a few days later, it grows right back. And before you know it, if I just let those grow, if I just let those vines and those thorns grow, eventually they will take over whatever they're in. And the original plant that I planted, the original plant that's there, loses its identity. It loses what it was created to be. And all you see is the ugly vines and the ugly thorns. It's the same way in our lives. When we let these things creep into our lives, ingratitude, worry, comparison, when they come into our lives, eventually they'll take over. And so when people look at you, they don't see joy. They see somebody that's worrying all the time. They see someone that's ungrateful. They see someone that's always comparing themselves to others. The only way to truly get rid of these vines and these thorns in my yard is to get them by the root, is to pull them up by the root, because the fruit is the result of the root. It's the same way with joy in our lives. In order to truly find joy in our lives, we have to be connected to the root. To have the fruit of joy in our lives, we have to be connected to the root. So as we close, I want to give you a few things to think about as we think about building joy in our lives. Because there's some things that we can do. There's some things that we can recognize. Because this can be a hard place to find ourselves. It can be a hard place to feel like you're pursuing God, but then still not have joy. We have to watch out for these wreckers. But I want to give you three principles that you can think about. And we're going to call these the joy builders. The first one is that to know that finding joy is a process. Finding joy is a process. Happiness happens overnight. Happiness can happen quickly. Finding joy comes with a process. As your faith grows, as you understand more and more what God has done in your life, you'll find more joy. And so you might be here today, and you might be a new Christ follower. You might be new to this God thing, and you're like, hey, I feel like I'm walking with God, but this whole conversation about joy is difficult. I feel like I still mess this up. I want to encourage you, stick with it. Know that finding joy is a process. Stay connected to God. Think about a vineyard. It's fitting for this series. Vineyard making is a process. You can't plant a grapevine and expect a vineyard overnight. It takes time. It takes time for the plant to grow. It takes time for the grapes to mature. And you need lots of grapes to have a vineyard. So know that finding joy is a process. The second principle is this. Joy is made complete in service to others. Joy is made complete in service to others. A while ago, we talked about where Jesus was talking about the importance of remaining in me and that we find joy. Let's go back to this verse. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. What he says next is this. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Finding joy is a process, but there's no quicker way to find joy than to serve someone. Jesus says, you'll be filled with joy. And this is my commandment, to love each other. When you're filled with joy, you can begin to love each other. So to find joy in your life, find somebody to serve. Find an opportunity to serve somebody on a consistent basis. It's a great way to find joy. The third joy builder principle is this. Commit to remaining. Commit to remaining. Staying connected to the right source. One of the things that we say a lot around here is that Jesus is the sole source of my soul's satisfaction. What does that mean? Well, when we're connected to Jesus, we find satisfaction. We find satisfaction, we find joy. So what does it mean to remain? What does this look like? It means waking up every day to connect with the God of the universe. It means spending time every day in prayer with him. It means giving him those worries that you have because he's in control. It means spending time regularly in God's word so that you can know his heart and you can know what's important to him. It also means, though, it means staying connected to his church. It means being here, being a part of his mission to see more people come to know him. Commit to remaining to find more joy in your life. These joy builders know that finding joy is a process. Know that joy is made complete in service to others. And commit to remaining. Commit to remaining to the right source. So this week, I want you to look at your life. I want you to look at your life and see if you're connected to the right source. Is your happiness built on whatever's happening around you, on the day-to-day whims? Or is your happiness and your joy connected to Jesus? Spend some time thinking about that. Have these wreckers, if these joy wreckers crept into your life, have they started to take over where you've kind of lost all sense of who you are when it comes to happiness and joy? If that's the case, commit to remaining in Jesus. Commit to finding him every day through prayer and through reading his word. maybe you need to take a step to serve others. We have many opportunities here. It doesn't have to be here, but we would love you to find an opportunity here. Join our team. Be a volunteer at Wellspring. We have so many ways that you could do that. Find opportunities to commit yourselves to the God of the universe, because the fruit is the result of the root. The fruit is the result of the root. To have fruit in our lives, to live a fruit-forward life with joy in our lives, we must be connected to Jesus. We must ultimately know that God is in control. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the reminder today about the importance of remaining in you to find ultimate joy. Lord, help us to remember every day that you are in control and that we don't have to worry about things. We don't have to compare our lives to others' lives. And we can always be grateful for your unchanging grace, that free gift that you gave us, amazing gift. Help us, Lord, focus on you. Help us to find ways to find joy in our lives, and maybe that's serving others. Help us to find someone that we can serve on a daily basis. Thank you for all that you've done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.